everyone, and welcome back to Muskies Matters with Lakeland University head football coach Colin Bruton. Muskies Matters is a weekly program that gives you, the fans, the opportunity to ask the Lakeland coach questions about the Muskies, football or sports in general, or just seek Coach Bruton's wisdom about life events that are going on. In this week's episode, the coach talks to us about that impressive victory over Wisconsin Lutheran last week and what he's expecting against Eureka College this week. He gives us an update on how well his kids did on Halloween night. And the coach supports a fan who proves that there are better inventions other than sliced bread. So let's join Muskies Matters.
Yeah, we're getting ready to head on the road to play Eureka, and it's going to be a good road trip for the guys. We're excited. We're going to stop at Northern Illinois and get a chance to use their indoor facility for our walkthrough this afternoon. And, we're really a business trip for us. We're trying to stay focused one week at a time, and, we know Eureka's going to be a really good opponent. We played them in one of the more memorable games I can remember here at Lakeland in my time here, and I think it was 56-55, and hopefully this year it won't be quite as high scoring. As a defensive coach, I'd appreciate that, but we're looking forward to a good weekend.
Another dominating performance by your team last weekend. What were your thoughts against Wisconsin Lutheran?
Yeah, it wasn't the start that we wanted. We talked about, really a big point emphasis for us was starting fast and trying to come out with a lot of energy, and kind of went the opposite way. We went 3-and-out in our first series, and then we had a punt snap that we didn't catch, and they ended up kind of scooping us going for a touchdown, and we were down 6-0 early, and it just took us a while to get going. But I thought the positives with that is we stayed together as a team and really played through adversity, and just kind of over time I thought our talent took over and played really well throughout defensively, and then offensively, especially in the second half, really kind of put it together. And the final score isn't really indicative of how close that game was, especially early. It was 13-6 at the half, and we were in a fight for sure. But I thought we played a really good second half, and just proud of the way we responded.
An outstanding performance by your defense, 11 first downs and 119 yards of offense you allow. What is this group doing right now that you feel is making them so effective at this point?
Yeah, we're really playing well at all three levels. And that's the exciting thing. Our secondary, we have the five returners in the secondary, and they've kind of gelled, and they're playing very well and making things difficult for opposing teams' pass offense. We've been a little more aggressive play calling-wise, so we're bringing a little more edge pressure, which has been really good for us. And then we've had some guys kind of just playing better. I think Washington Ivanko, he's returning, been a three-year starter for us. He's really up to his play the last couple weeks. Shazon Crutcher, it's a first-year starter linebacker, has really come into his own, and he's leading our team in tackles, and he's really been impressive. He was all over the field on Saturday. So you're seeing some guys start to up the level of play. And then as a unit, just collectively, the confidence level in our group is really high right now, and we're starting to play with that confidence, and it's a good confidence. It's not a cockiness; it's just a confidence that we're gonna make plays and get stops, and that's been really good to see. And it's really been all three levels. We got a lot of guys playing at a high level right now.
You've talked about in previous week is that when this defense is on, they are really kind of a shutdown defense. Do you feel right now that they are playing at a level that could make you conference champions?
Yeah, for sure. We're playing at a level. Kind of a group that we, in my time here, kind of our defense in 2014 finished in the top 10 nationally and was really a dominant group. And that's kind of always the group that I compare units to. And we're not quite to that level yet. But there were times on Saturday, it felt pretty similar. Where as a guy calling the plays, you feel like you can call anything, and it's pretty good. And all the pieces are kind of fitting together the right way, and that's the exciting thing. And we got to continue to improve. We got to continue to play well. We're going to play a little bit stiffer competition down the stretch than we played the last couple weeks. But we're playing really well, and it's exciting because it makes it a lot easier to call defense. And you can, like I said, you can just see the guys on defense, the confidence growing. And probably the best example on Saturday, we were down 6-0 early, and again, the score came on a special teams miscue. Then our offense turned the ball over, deep in our own territory. So Wisconsin Lutheran took over at the 27-yard line and had really good field position and a chance to really go up two scores. And the response by our defense was awesome. It was three straight plays. It was kind of clinic tape level defense, and got a 3-and-out. We ended up forcing a punt when they started a possession at the 27-yard line. And just a really impressive series. But it was, again, our guys just playing with that confidence. It was really no panic when it happened. It was just you know, I think an overall belief that we're going to get a stop and we're going to be fine, and that was really good to see.
Yeah, I noticed in that game watching it last week that every time they seemed to get a big play, your defense came up with one right afterwards. I wonder, you know, on the sidelines, as a coach and watching the players, they got to really feel confident that you guys just can't beat us.
Yeah, and I think if the game went on last week, there was more confidence. And, you know, it helps that, you know, we've been pretty good on the outside at corner and our safeties, and we've been able to kind of cancel some numbers there with kind of some man coverage, things like that. And when you can do that, you know, now you have an extra number in the run fit and things like that, and it makes it really difficult for an offense. And, yeah, I think as the game went on, there was a confidence that you know, we kind of had an answer for what they were trying to do, and, you know, we played very well.
Right now your running game just looks almost unstoppable. As a former defensive guy, I would assume that this is the kind of thing that you like just because you feel you can totally control the tempo of the game.
Yeah, for sure. You know, we've been really high on our offensive line all year. You know, our backs are special. We talked about that a ton, and, you know, they make those guys right. And, you know, we still want to be more balanced. I think ultimately to get to where we want to get to, you know, if we're gonna win three more games this year, we're going to have to pass the ball more efficiently, and we're going to have to make bigger plays in the pass game. So that's going to be a huge point emphasis for us. You know, going down the road, Eureka this week's going to play a ton of man coverage, and they're going to challenge you on the outside, and they got some really good DBs. And at some point on Saturday, we're going to have to hit some passes. But it is nice knowing that, hey, this running game, it's doing what it's doing. And, you know, like I said, you feel like both backs could go for 200 at any time, and both backs have the ability to take a run 50 or 60 or 70 yards at any time. And that's something that's really tough. You know, when you have one of those guys, you feel pretty good. When you have two of those guys, it's pretty special. So, you know, we feel really good about where we are running the football, and now we're hoping that we can, you know, if we can get where we want to be or we think we can get in the passing game, we're going to be really tough to stop.
Logan O'Neal got a little time for you this last Saturday. How did you feel about his performance?
Yeah, it's really good to have a guy like him, you know, on the bench, kind of ready to play. He's a senior. He's a kid that's played for us in the past. You know, he's really a student of the game. He's going to be a really good football coach down the road. He wants to coach. You know, he's going to be a really good football coach. He understands it and sees it. And when you have a guy like that, he doesn't need quite as many reps during the week to be ready to play. And he's kind of always ready. And it was good, you know, Ted got a little banged up, and he came in, and, you know, with the exception of the one throw, he threw an interception, and just kind of made a misread. It wasn't a very good, you know, very good snap by him, and he would tell you that. But outside of that, I thought he played really well, and he's kind of a calming influence. Our guys have a ton of confidence in him, and when he comes in the game, he seems to be able to calm things down, and it worked. So, you know, he's a guy that, you know, next 3 weeks we may need again at some point, and he'll be ready. That's the great thing about him, is that you know that he's going to be ready and locked in the game. And sometimes it's hard when you're on the sidelines and you're not playing much, and all of a sudden you're thrown in at any position. But it's even harder at quarterback when you have to really operate the whole show. And he's a guy that just is always really steady. So really good to see. Happy for him that he got a chance to get out there again and threw a touchdown. And really let us on an impressive, like, two-minute drive there to score. He's just really comfortable and really calm in that situation, so that was good to see.
Your players of the game?
Yeah, offensively, Larry Rivers, again, was outstanding. He went over 200 again. Went over 1,000 for the season, which is the first time we've had a Muskie back do that. I believe it was 25 years, 1994 was the last time we had a 1,000-yard rushing here at Lakeland, so... really impressive, and you know, he's doing it while also splitting some carries with Dez, which is even the crazier part about it. And he's going to break the single season rushing record here shortly, and, you know, hopefully it happens Saturday. But I think if he keeps up this pace, he's not going to break it, he's going to shatter it. But he was great. I mentioned Shazon Crutcher. He played an outstanding football game, just kind of all over the field as a linebacker and doing things in coverage for us, and really a versatile player. He's come on every week and is really playing at a high level. And then special teams-wise, you know, I thought Mason Prunick, who's kind of maybe our most underappreciated player. He's kind of our H-back, so he's in playing as a tight end. He's playing as a slot receiver. He's on every one of our special teams units. You know, he's a guy that doesn't get a ton of accolades, you know, but probably is one of our best football players. If you ranked, you know, our best players and took a top 10 list, he's definitely in there, and you can make a strong argument that he's, you know, our most valuable player just because how versatile he is. But he was outstanding in the coverage units. kind of moved his role a little bit on the kickoff unit, and he just came down and just disrupted things for the Wisconsin's return game. That was really good to see. And he's a guy, like I said, that we he's really steady, really solid, and probably doesn't get the accolades that he deserves because he's really good for us.
This weekend you take on Eureka, travel down there to take them on. Your thoughts on that game?
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. You know, we beat them last year, like I said, and really an epic game. They had a two-point conversion to try to win it with about, I think, 20 seconds to go, and we were able to get a stop and, you know, 56-55 game. And, you know, I think with that revenge on their mind and kind of the way their season's gone, we're expecting to get their absolute best effort on Saturday. And they're a good football team. They're a team that very easily could be 3-1 in our league. You know, they lost the game to Concordia Chicago. They led 34-14. Late in the second half, and then they lost to Ben Viking last week, 17-14, and that game was played in an absolute monsoon throughout it. You know, one of the craziest films I've ever seen with the amount of rain they had during the game. Very easily could be 3-1, really quality football team, and they're very good at home. You know, they had a 12-game winning streak at home that was snapped earlier this year, so it's going to be a heck of a test for us. We got to stay very disciplined and focused with the travel. We got to come out and play with a lot of energy, and then we're going to have to respond to some adversity on Saturday because they're going to make some plays. It's a quality football team. They're going to challenge us, I think, with their defense, with some of the stuff they do. They're aggressive. They're a lot like us. They play a lot of man coverage. They got some really good corner. I think Trayvon Moore, you know, is a really, really good corner. Been a four-year starter for him. So he's going to challenge our guys. And then in offensively, they got a really good running game. Then Drew Buck is the quarterback. He's thrown 20 touchdowns and only four picks. He's a senior, been a three-year starter. He's a really, really solid player. So it's going to be a heck of a football game. We're going to have to play extremely well to get a win on Saturday.
I know you want your team to focus on one game at a time. Is it hard for them to do that when they know that Benedictine and Aurora are coming up and that's really going to be for the conference title?
You know, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think if we were undefeated at this point, if we were 4-0 in the league, you may have the idea that you're looking ahead. But those games don't matter if we don't take care of business Saturday. You know, we're in a situation right now, there's absolutely no margin for error. You know, the winner of our conference is going to win it either undefeated if it's Ben Vickin or Aurora or somebody with just one loss. If you lose for a second time, you're done. And I think that's been kind of the hole we put ourselves in with the loss to Concordia to start the conference season. And we've really had a one-game-at-a-time focus. And we talked about kind of playing six elimination games in a row, and we're on elimination game four now. And it's kind of like we started the playoffs in early October. So I think our focus has been really good, and we're not overlooking Eureka. It's a good team, and like I said, I think they're going to be really ready to play. I'm expecting you know, whatever we've seen on film, and they've been good on film, I'm expecting an even better performance from Eureka on Saturday. I think they're going to be really ready to play, and we better be ready to match that focus and intensity.
Well, let's head to fan questions, and we start out with Chris, who says, what is the relationship like between Larry and Dez? Do they joke around with each other about getting carries, or is it a fierce rivalry?
No, they're close. They support each other. I think they both know that they make each other better. You know, I think they make each other better by splitting carries, keeping each other fresh. I think, you know, teams key in on one of them allows the other one to go off a little bit. And they know that, you know, one week might be Dez's week, and he may go for, you know, 200 like he did against Rockford, and next week, you know, Larry may go for 200 like he did against WLC. So they know that it's a healthy thing for them, it's a healthy thing for our offense, and they're really supportive of each other. You know, they joke, it seems like, you know, Tez is scoring a lot of touchdowns near the goal line, so they're always joking with Tez that he wants them to get him down to the goal line and he wants to score it down there. So it's been really good. All three of those guys are really, really good runners. And really, really talented kids, and it works. It works that they, you know, they're friends, and they push each other, and they're making us better. And it's been good. There's no jealousy. There's no, you know, they're definitely supportive of each other. You know, I know at Rockford, Dez has scored a few times, and he was really pushing to make sure Larry got in the end zone there in the second half because he wanted Larry to get one. It's just kind of the relationship they have.
You know, I got to say, that's kind of a crazy statement you gave right there, Coach, when you're saying, well, this week it's going to be Larry who gets 200 yards, and next week it's Dez. I mean, how many coaches can say that?
Yeah, you know, kind of, it's been a good problem to have for sure. You know, the problem we have is that, you know, only one of our backs is having a big rushing game this week. That's pretty special.
William would like to know, how do you find the team's mood knowing they pretty much control their own destiny to win the NAC?
I think we know we're playing well right now, and our guys are excited about that. And like I said, there's really been a focus kind of 1 week at a time, and knowing that every week gets a little bit more important is exciting. And I think, you know, when we got to 0-1, as coaches, you look at the schedule and you say, okay, can we get to this point? Can we get to November where games are mattering and games are important for the conference? You know, they wouldn't matter otherwise, but they're important for the conference standings. And we've gotten to that point, and some things have broken our way with Concordia losing twice, which obviously opened the door for us to have a shot. But I think we're excited. I think the guys know that everyone's going to become more important down the road. You know, every game we get to play and keep winning, it becomes a bigger game down the stretch. So that's exciting, and that's all you can really ask for in the end of the year, is to be playing big games late. And, you know, that's, you know, it's just exciting, I think, the best word for it. We're excited to go to Eureka, and excited to keep building on the momentum that we have.
Ricky would like to know if you like the overtime rules in college, in the NFL, or do you have a different way you'd like to see overtime run?
Yeah, I think college has the right idea with both teams getting a shot. You know, both teams getting the ball. I think, you know, the NFL with the fact that you can lose a coin toss and then never touch the ball in overtime just doesn't sit right with me. I think the college rule could be better. I'd like to see us move the ball back a little bit. So instead of starting at 25, maybe start at the 35. You know, just so you're not automatically in field goal range. And it might lead to a little bit more defense. You know, you feel now where you're giving up one first down and you're almost giving up a score in the overtime rules. It's really hard to play defense that way, and you end up with, you know, these 3, 4, and 5 overtime games. So that might be the rule change I'd like to see implemented, is just move the ball back a little bit to start. But I think the idea of giving both teams the ball is the right way to do it. You know, the only other option I think you have is to play some sort of a timed overtime. You know, so you're playing a 10 or 12 minute period and just play it out. And I know the fear obviously is just the additional plays and injury risk and things like that. But you know, I think the NFL rule with the opportunity where you can lose a coin toss and never touch the ball just doesn't seem right.
Dave would like to know, who is an author you really like to read the most?
Yeah, probably the guy, you know, I like a lot of Malcolm Gladwell stuff, so I read a lot of his stuff. But I think, in general, I tend to read more fiction than I do nonfiction. I know a lot of the coaches are reading all these books on leadership and coaching, and I don't, when I read, I kind of want to shut down and I don't want to be a coach anymore. So I'll read a little bit more for pleasure and things like that. So, it just kind of depends on what I'm in the mood for. During the season, I admittedly don't read nearly as much as I should. But in the off season, I'll try to have a book going at all times. And, but generally it's more fiction, it's more for pleasure. And sometimes it's just whatever book my wife has. After she's done with it, I'm reading it next. So that's kind of the way it works.
Coach Bruton should be writing books about coaching and leadership.
I don't know about that.
Ian would like to know, why does everyone get so worked up about Halloween costumes? It's Halloween, people.
Yeah, good question. I think it's just like anything else. You know, it's you're trying to beat the person next to you. It's social media, it's the pictures and all that. I think, you know, we're a comparison society, and we want to compare ourselves to everybody else. And if one person has a Halloween costume, why does it got to be better or more elaborate or more in-depth? And it doesn't matter. You know, for the kids, they're giving you candy regardless of how bad your Halloween costume looks. So I wouldn't stress about it too much.
Andy says, all kinds of questions about bad Halloween candy, but what's the best option?
Yeah, I'm a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup guy. That's probably my number one. My kids know if they get those that in the basket, those were going in the fridge, and they're going to get, I like them cold, so they're going to get refrigerated, and that's kind of a compromise. They can keep a lot of the other stuff, but the Reese's Cups are going to come my way. So I do the Reese's Cups. I like Snickers, Twix, a lot of the chocolate-based candy. I'm also a big licorice guy, so I'll eat a lot of licorice. And during camp, our coaches always laugh at me because I eat a ton of licorice during preseason camp. It's kind of, I always got Twizzlers with me or Twizzlers in the office. I'm eating Twizzlers all the time. So if I get some Twizzlers and the Halloween candy, I'm happy with that as well.
Andy also says, I think you said your kids got to trick-or-treat on Sunday. Did they meet the Coach Bruton quota for Sunday, or did you have to put in some extra time on Halloween night? to make up for it.
Yeah. I would say it was a solid effort. You know, I was a little disappointed in Kanan, our younger one. He was, you know, he got about a little over an hour in. You know, we had a two-hour window of trick-or-treat, and he was asking, are we done yet? You know, and I thought that was a little bit soft, but and he's four. He was wearing football pads. He went as a football player, so he's wearing the pad they grabbed from here. So I think they were a little heavy on him, so we're going to give him a little bit of a break there. But overall, I'll say this. You know, we went out Sunday, and it wasn't just you know, Kanan, my four-year-old. It was, you know, you heard it from other kids that they're out, you know, are we done yet? And I'm kind of mind-boggled that this is the reaction. I mean, these kids got to understand they're getting free candy, and they can go door to door. People are going to be willingly giving them candy. It happens one day a year. You know, you expect a little better effort, but I didn't see it. You know, I think maybe we got to start depriving these kids of candy for a couple months beforehand, so that they're a little bit more motivated to get it. But I heard it from multiple kids, and I think we always misremember our childhood a little bit. We always think about it a little different than maybe reality was, but. I can't imagine going out for just an hour and then be asking if I was done trick-or-treating. I felt like we were out for 3-4 hours trick-or-treating, and used to come back with, we used to take out pillowcases instead of little pumpkins, and we try to fill a pillowcase with candy. So it was felt like at our time, maybe we were deprived of candy more, so we needed it a little bit more on Halloween, but I would say it was a decent effort for my kids. I'm not going to give them an A-plus effort.
Yeah, I can't imagine if banks were giving away money that you'd be like, okay, I'm tired, I don't want to go to anymore, you know?
Absolutely, right? When you're 7 years old or 4 years old or 10 years, I mean, candy is currency. That's about as good as a gift. If you can get a free Snickers, that's about as good as life gets.
So Zachary asks, so on Halloween when your kids are getting tired, are you like that coach in Facing the Giants? Come on, one more house, just one more house. Come on, do you have one more house in you?
That's pretty accurate. Yes, we were in a subdivision, and I tried to get one more street out of them. So I was trying to get, you know, hey, can we make this turn and go around the block to get back to the car? And we did. Kanan, you know, blocked two or three houses, was really getting tired. So Colton ran ahead, and he hit up all the houses. But yeah, I was. Can we get one more street and one more block? You know, I think that's what you got to be looking at. It's just a ratio. You know, you're going to get. You know, probably 20% of the houses is going to give you candy that you really don't want. Or, you know, we got a few fruit snacks, which, you know, nothing against fruit snacks, but not really looking for them in the Halloween loop. You know, no raisins, which is good. I don't think anybody gets any non-food items. You know, sometimes you get the pennies or nickels. We don't want to do that. But, you know, 20% of the houses are going to be bad. It becomes a numbers game. You got to hit X amount of houses to get X amount of a good piece of the candy. So, we get one more street in, and it was good. I thought Colton's effort was good. He was focused and motivated, and he got the last couple houses in.
He got the good scouting report. That's good to hear.
He did, yeah.
Raymond would like to know, when is a person too old to trick-or-treat anymore?
13. I think 13 is the number. I'll give you through, kind of through your junior high years if you want to go. Great. You know, the one thing I will say is if you're going to trick-or-treat, you got to be in costume. So don't come with the, I'm dressed as a teenager, give me candy look. Put a little effort into it on your end, and we'll put a little effort into giving you candy. But I think 13 is the limit. Once you're in high school, you're done trick-or-treating. We're going to give you 13. I think it's about 8th grade. That's the age.
Steve would like to know the scariest Halloween movie of all time.
You know, I'm probably going to go the original Halloween. The original Mike Myers, I think, is the music is really good. And, that's probably the one that stands out with kind of the horror movies. I was a huge fan, not really a Halloween movie, but I was a big fan of the Blair Witch Project when that came out. I thought the marketing on that movie was exceptional. I was a senior in high school when it came out. I remember we went and saw it one of the first days, and it was kind of one of the first like fake documentaries, and you left the theater and you didn't know if it was real or not. So not a Halloween movie, but that's one of my favorite horror movies ever, but if we're talking strictly Halloween movies, I'm going to go the original Halloween.
Craig says, what is the insect you hate the most, the insect that annoys you the most, and the one you would be willing to eat?
I'm not eating insects. I don't know. You're going to have to get a nice treasure chest of cash before I start eating insects. We've had really wet falls around here, so the mosquitoes have been bad. So probably the one that annoys me the most would be the mosquitoes. The ones I hate, I think, are those flying ladybugs. I'm not sure what they're called, but they're really annoying. We've had a lot of those in this area as well. But the mosquitoes are bad, too. Hasn't been quite as bad this year, but the last year, 2018, you couldn't buy any bug repellent in the county. It was just sold out everywhere. The mosquitoes were so bad, and we'd be out of practice, and it was the point. It was hard to practice and hard to focus, and our soccer teams played a couple night games, and there was a couple teams that said they wouldn't come back and play at Lakeland. We have kind of like our stadium's kind of tree-lined, and the mosquitoes were so bad. So that was obviously an extreme case, but the mosquitoes are bad. I'm not a fan.
The mosquitoes would be okay if they were attacking your opponent. Yeah, that would have been okay then. Micah says, people may be all excited about the invention of sliced bread, but I think there is no better invention than toilet paper. Is there really any other choice?
You're not going to get an argument from me. People will talk about the wheel, things like that. Like, the wheel without toilet paper doesn't sound that good. Sliced bread, as I said last week, is way, way, way down that list. So, toilet paper is a tough one to beat, and I'm going to go with Micah here.
And we end with, why is it good to be a Muskie this week?
It's a great chance for us to come together as a team with travel this weekend. So we're excited about that. I think it's going to be just a really good trip for our team, and a good chance to get off campus and kind of focus together and know that we have a goal to accomplish. It's going to be a really good, I think, competitive game on Saturday against Eureka. Like I said, we're going to have to play really, really well, to get a chance to win that game. And if we are fortunate to win that game, that sets up some other big ones down the stretch. And the other big news on campus, our volleyball team was co-champs of the NAC, and they're going to be hosting a home playoff game on Tuesday night, so we're excited about that. And our guys will be at that game and excited. And just good to see our teams on campus winning and being competitive. And anytime you got big, exciting athletic events on campus, it's exciting for the whole student body, and it'll be exciting for our guys. So big week ahead of us, and it's always good to be a Muskie.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us this week, Coach.
All right. Thanks a lot, Rob.
We want to thank Coach Bruton for joining us on Muskies Matters this week. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask the Lakeland coach, please send them to us at ColinBruton@MinorLeagueSportsSupport.com. That's ColinBruton@MinorLeagueSportsSupport.com. Please have your questions to us by Tuesday evening so we can give the coach a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Pannier, the managing editor of the Minor League Sports Report, and we'll see you next time on Muskies Matters.